Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, thanking God for another day of being here, thanking Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KFM Radio in New York City, currently with isoradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not on the radio, he is graced in New York City with the best of live R&B events as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. I want to thank our sponsor, Mark Pittman and his two groups, Real World Black News and Discussions Group and the Black History Suppress Group. I want to thank my team, Lady Diamond Elaine Yeves, DJ Domeka Rodney Williams, Monster Miles, and our activist and panelist out from Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Betty Williams. Thanking my panelists on a regular basis, Patrick Irvine, Stalo Jenkins, Altariq Atkins, Professor Carl Tone Jones, Erica Talbert, Kim Milton, and Darlene and Arlene out there in Brooklyn, New York. Thanking you guys all in your individual parts of the world for doing what you do there and here as well. To my social media neighborhood, the On the Edge Listeners Lounge with Katie Barnett, Black Loving Conversations with Linda Miller, the Urban Intellectuals Group with Patrick Irvine, What About Us with Carl Tone Jones. Thanking all of you for all that you do when you're out there, to Marvin Young and the Capitalist End Group. All right, we've been having some very intense discussions over the scandals that's been taking place. We have been dealing with the Mike Brown protest as well as of late, the Ray Rice situation. Well, today, we're kind of mixing all of that up because we are going to be speaking tonight about things that we have been seeing in African-American neighborhoods and communities on TV, all of these horrible things that go down after we're pushed into the situation and we're ridiculed for our own traditional styles or whatever the case is, that most of the negativity you see is actually pushed forward on the front page, not helped as our counterparts get it. But on top of all of that, after not helping with any solutions or whatever, they happen to capitalize on it. So one of the things that we're speaking on tonight, and actually the title of tonight's episode, is Big Market for Black Destruction. And when we get back after our pre-discussion break song and a word from our sponsors, we're going to be getting started right on this. But don't go away. Today we're going out with Chris Brown, Usher, and Rick Ross with New Flame. A word from our sponsors, and we'll be back to get this party started. So don't go away. Keep it locked with Katie. We'll be right back.
Baby, God can never make do, na-na-na.
when niggas sliding in her. Baby, I'm a boss, I'm talking George Steinbrenner, Panamera, Yogi Berra, my two-seater, Derek Jeter, got more stripes than all these niggas. Babe, who ballin' in the Beamer, collar on my polo, kisses on my necklace, all my diamonds watching, now my watch is getting jealous. Smoking on the bomb in my autograph LeBron's. Yeah, she told me I'm the one, that's when I only hit it once.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Tonight, we are discussing big markets for black destruction. And this is all speaking about everything that we have been seeing in massive drones. We have been seeing nonstop scandal, nonstop tragedy, nonstop genocide, if you want to call it that, happening on a frequent, flowing, and continuous basis. And as much as we know throughout the years, racism is alive and well, regardless to how many people want to stick their head in the sand and pretend that all of these little bits of tokens that we're getting as an African-American community means that things are getting better. Things are not any better. Things are not any better, and because it can't be outright done, such as no one can just walk up and lynch you anymore and, you know, knock you backwards and it's okay with the rest of the world that's watching it happen, it's being done in other ways, you know, between the economic cuts, between job discrimination, with things that they offer out there supposed to be of equal opportunity. However, certain people on the opportunity line is having higher hoops to jump through, or being cut off or discriminated against, where even though it's supposed to be a fair shake at the apple, we see that, you know, there's so many little discrete things that certain sides of the fence don't get. Well, let's start speaking about all of these, not even recent, but, they are recent, let's just say. The most recent situations that we have been coming upon. Now, everywhere you turn nowadays, you see a breaking news story about either an African-American got killed either by some white racist person that didn't like the fact that, you know, either they spoke too loudly while black, they walked while black, they knocked on the door while black, they were standing in the center of a plaza while black, it doesn't matter. We have been outraged over the last 2 to 3 years about the miscarriage of justice, if justice was served at all. If it's not that, we've seen some black athletes being involved in a scandal. Some of it was just stupidity on their part. Others are, it's not as bad as they made it seem. Or it is bad. But guess what? The treatment that was received by them as opposed to a white counterpart that committed the exact same offense, if not in a worse, more intense manner, and got off with a slap on the wrist. So all of these things that are happening has been happening, and we've been watching it happen in a mass. Okay, let's go back a little further. For years, we have been ridiculed, we've been judged, we have been ostracized for our fashion styles, for our type of music. Everything that was considered, you know, something they ban in fancy places. However, they don't have a problem nowadays with making that very thing something they market in Hollywood. They don't acknowledge actors such as Halle Berry and Denzel Washington and Angela Bassett and people like that who have station on good merit and just intent and great talent. They won't be acknowledged or awarded or nominated for things that don't depict a bad image of black people. 12 Years a Slave, all of these slavery movies are coming out. Why? Because, you know, it speaks about how bad we had it or how down and beaten we were. And that's fine. You can market that mainstream all you want. Reality TV shows are coming out showing black couples in the big music field or the athletic field fighting with each other, all the inside grit, whereas a white couple will be able to have the privacy. Ray Rice is on suspension indefinitely now for having a horrible, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we spoke about this. A horrible situation took place from both ends. When the woman was involved, the man was involved. However personally disgusted we were with the situation, however personally upset we are with her decision to stay or his decision to hit her or whatever the case was, they personally decided that they were going to get together despite all of that, continue with the marriage and put it behind them. Someone leaked the tape 5 months after this was quashed in their end, and now they're pretty much being forced to expose their personal situation. And because it's a black couple that was out there, now the league needs to make sure they make an example to the general public to show that we don't tolerate this. Really, well, where was that action when it first took place? Trayvon Martin's killer got TV interviewed. Trayvon Martin killer's wife got a TV interview. She got to express how she felt so upset about what took place, even though when the time that sentiment would have mattered, she said nothing. She reaped the benefits of donations given to an account. She went shopping while he was busy killing a kid somewhere. And all of these things are celebrated. Those people get to show their good side, their human side, their victimization side, the part where they were just in a bad situation at the time. Meanwhile, after this man got acquitted, now he's all over the news for doing exactly what they would have showed or showed that him of doing when he should have been convicted for that crime. Let's talk about the fact that our own people don't support, as they do, funds to support a person such as Mike Brown or Trayvon Martin to get justice on that side. Meanwhile, Mike Brown's killer has a $250,000 fundraiser accumulation with people supporting him, justifying his action. But they'll make a story about this and they'll capitalize on it. When they capitalize on it, they won't give back any proceeds from what they've capitalized on to the people who, this very story, shows a victim side of everything, shows the grief of losing a child, shows the grief of losing a loved one, shows the grief of a broken marriage or now an exposed marriage that has to suffer. If you care so much about the domestic violence and the Ray Rice situation, why didn't you pay for counseling and suspend them temporarily if that was your reason? Why destroy his livelihood where now he can't support his family once his savings are over? We're being torn apart. We have our traditions, our unique trademarks, our thing, our culture being exploited on the air, being capitalized on for their benefit, for the very people who create the very plights that they put on TV as it's of some great entertainment television. But we're being cut down and kicked down further in the process. And the bigger the destruction for blacks, the bigger the market for capitalization. Rather than help Trayvon Martin's family grieve and move on and go someplace else or do whatever the case is, they'd rather talk to this family about making a movie about it if that was the case. No, there's not a Trayvon Martin movie coming out. This is a hypothetical comparison. They would rather sit there and have a, I see you, caller, I'll bring you right in. They would rather sit there and have a Hollywood sensationalism over the situation rather than actually tackle the grief and say, we want to tell your story, and when this comes out, we're going to give you something to help you have life a little bit better. So with that being said, what do you feel? Do you feel that the bigger the destruction for blacks, the bigger the bad image on blacks, the more of the oppression and breakdown and destruction that we have being shown on there is a bigger market for white America? That is the question on the table. Let me take our first caller for the evening. Welcome to the show, Chloe. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
I definitely think, like, I don't know, I definitely think that black people that for some reason the news isn't really sided with them as much as it's sided with, you know, the white cop, because most of the time, I guess the average white person might assume that, oh, well, they probably did the right thing anyway because the black kid was probably a thug and did something wrong, you know? So,
you're absolutely right on that one.
What?
I said you're absolutely right on that one, and I do need you to speak up for me a little bit, okay, hon?
I'm sorry. I have a new headset. Okay, I am sorry about that. Sec. But I don't know how it, like, affects the marketing for, you know, anybody, but it definitely affects the justice system, you know, when they don't serve justice at all, and you know, to all that money wasted in that trial when he was going to be found not guilty, you know, the Zimmerman trial for Trayvon Martin. I don't think that Trayvon Martin was completely innocent. I'm not being a racist, but I think that Zimmerman deserved to do some time, you know.
Okay, you
and I think that the cops in Missouri with Michael Brown definitely deserve to do some time as well. And it's just, why don't the courts hold the policemen accountable for their actions? Because I don't think it was right to shoot a man that many times to death. Even if he was taking off running, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But that doesn't mean that they deserve to die. And that kid was only, like, what, 18, right?
Well, we have a saying where you say you're preaching to the choir, meaning that we're on board with you on that one. As far as I needed you to repeat what you said with regards to the Trayvon Martin situation, you said you didn't think that, I heard something with, I don't think, and then racism.
Well, just a sec. My phone, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, and don't worry about it. I go through it as well. You said you don't think something with the Trayvon Martin but George Zimmerman deserve to go to due time. Caller number two, I see you there. Just hang on a couple of minutes. What was it you didn't think was of the case with the Trayvon Martin situation?
I don't think that Trayvon Martin was completely innocent, but I do think that George Zimmerman deserved to do time in jail for what he did.
Okay.
And it's
so
just
when
that
you say not completely innocent, you in regards to what? Like, what do you feel that he did wrong?
Well, I heard that he did assault George Zimmerman, but George Zimmerman was harassing him.
Well,
so,
that's
you
called
know.
Self-defense.
Yeah.
That's called self-defense. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. Like I said, if someone does a crime, they should do time. But this young man's only crime was coming through a gated community under a racist neighborhood watchman. What exactly did he do? You heard the accounts of the tapes that were played over and over again. Everything led back to Zimmerman, and somehow, some way, his high-priced defense team found a way to poke holes into what a definition in the Congress meant or the Constitution meant to make it work for him. Okay?
Trayvon Martin punch Zimmerman's eye socket?
Yes, because there was a big white man following him, and he was wondering why. You heard the tapes, and you heard the testimony of his friend, which they tried to override her testimony by pointing out her bad English, where she said, "This man, this cracker is following me." That's what the words were. This boy is coming home from the store. What did he have on him? He had a bottle of Arizona drink, and he had a package of Skittles, which we've heard over and over again, okay? What he did was this man came upon him, and he decided what the hell is going on, and he said, "I don't know you, and what are you here for? Why are you following me?" He was going home through a shortcut that just happened to be the wrong turn.
Oh,
okay,
have got the misinformation, like, from that, because there's no video of what happened, but...
Oh, there's no video. No video of what happened. It doesn't seem video matters. Do you think, Nikki? There was video on this Michael Brown shooting. Is there anything showing them following what they see on the video?
Oh, I didn't see any video, but I heard the audio, like, of how many times he got shot.
Well, let's talk about the Michael Brown situation since you brought up video, okay? The video of Michael Brown having his hands up in the air, the witness accounts of that happening, and this man with his hands in the air to about 15 feet away from him in open field, he shot this boy 8 times. Video footage showed that. Is anybody sitting there acting on that as if it's a cut and dry case, or did they give this white officer the ability and the luxury of time while they review the evidence, quote unquote? And then what happened is 3 days after a mandated media blackout, they show a video not of the shooting again, but of the fact actually did harass a clerk, which the officer was not there to respond to that because he didn't even know there was a crime, and tried to use the fact that he was there because the store called him to report a crime, which the store denied. Now, if this had been a black cop that shot a white defendant and that video was released, that cop's career would have been over, along with jail time and prosecution.
Yeah, I did see the... Yeah, I did see the video of him, like, where he quote unquote was, like, I don't know, robbing a convenience store, which I don't think it was, like, violently at all. Yeah, he might have taken some things, and he did push that guy, but I didn't think it was so bad, you know? I don't know. I just seen the video where he was in the convenience store and some people made it out to look like he was being so violent. All he did was push the clerk a little bit, you know?
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. What they did was that video wasn't even in question or even something that the cop knew existed when the shooting took place. He shot him for all different reasons. He was told to get the hell out of the street by a white cop, and he talked back, and that was the problem. Okay, now there were things coming up saying that he tried to, I don't know, reach into the cop's car or whatever. Okay, and that probably would have been something any cop would have reacted to. However, when the shooting took place, there was no danger or even physical space that was covered. This guy was away from him. If there was a situation where he committed an act against an officer that under any circumstances, an officer would have shot or did whatever, that moment had passed when this boy got shot, and then he got shot 8 times. So where was the danger in him needing to execute this little boy? Because that's what he did. He executed this kid, regardless of what. And then what happened is later, subsequent footage of what might have been a harassment of a store clerk came out to try to smooth over and justify what the world already saw. Okay, there was no justification for an officer shooting a man that was in open field with his arms up saying, don't shoot me, 8 times. And I believe 2 were in the head. Don't quote me on that, but 2 were in the head from what I believe I read. Just hang on a minute, Nikki, because there's been a panelist waiting to come in. Hold on. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, this is Chavez. I'm calling in. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome to the show. The question on the table tonight is, do you believe that white America capitalizes on things that are most destructive to blacks, their tragedies, their killings, their scandals, and movies, things to that effect that show all of our destruction, our oppression? Do you believe that white America capitalizes off of it?
Before I answer that question, I wanted to respond to the previous discussion you had with the previous caller regarding Mike Brown.
All right. Yes, you can. Go ahead.
I wanted to just make the statement that I have no real interest in seeing the officer prosecuted in the Mike Brown case. And as controversial as that may sound, it's actually productive because I believe that we're individualizing Mike Brown case too much. I mean, when you individualize a case, it doesn't take into account. It makes it seem like it was just something wrong with Ferguson, Missouri. Every 28 hours, I don't even think it's a young black man. It's just black men in general. Every 28 hours, black people are assassinated by cops, and that's the real issue here. And as much you can get that officer arrested, you can get him executed. It doesn't matter what happened to him. That's not going to stop police brutality. They're just going to stop that particular officer from brutalizing another black person. But while he's locked up, there's still going to be people in California killing people, people in Illinois killing people, people in New York. It's not going to stop until we address the real situation, which I believe is white supremacy. I mean, white supremacy built the idea into, because let's look at why Mike Brown was shot. Mike Brown was shot because there's a policy in police discretion that allows them to choose whether or not they see, whether or not they're intimidated enough. If they find it reasonable enough to use force, then they're allowed to do that. And we'll make that. Hello?
Oh, hey. So,
yeah, you go ahead.
So what's your question?
I was saying that I was basically asking why are we stuck on prosecuting the officer who shot Mike Brown? I mean, he deserves to be prosecuted. We're too stuck. We're not addressing the larger issue at hand. We're looking at too narrow a situation.
Okay. So what do you think we should be looking at? Like, I just think that, you know, it's justice because I think the police are so militant-minded with everyone where they think they can do whatever they want. And, you know, The police do all kinds of illegal things, which they're complete hypocrites. You know, they're supposed to be enforcing the law, and they're constantly breaking the law. I'm not sure, you know, I don't have the numbers or really evidence of this happening, but don't quote me on this, but I do hear of the drugs that they arrest people for, you know, and things, that they actually go and they use them themselves.
Or sell it themselves.
I don't know if they...
Well, in Chicago? Nikki, give me a minute. Gentlemen, what's your name again, honey?
You talking about me?
Chicago? Yeah.
My name is Chavez. It's like the Spanish name, but it's spelled with an S.
I got you. Okay. Let me put a little spin on the prosecution level, okay? Nikki, you hit one point on the head very well. The cops have taken it upon themselves. They're not cops anymore, and I want to also clarify something. I am not speaking to those cops that truly take what being a cop is supposed to stand for seriously. I have quite a few family members and friends that are in the field that are completely disgusted with the acts of their fellow men. But this whole situation is, we're supposed to have balance and order in any kind of organization, field, country, whatever you want to call it. Now, it's funny how these guys got a badge and a gun and a blue uniform or whatever other uniform or whatever field they're in, and it's supposed to stand for something. Now, I was going to say equality, but nah, that's not going to be the situation. But at the minimum, it's supposed to be safety, okay? And that safety is supposed to be afforded to anyone that's around them. Now, why I feel that this officer needs to be prosecuted is because he committed a crime. He committed a crime. He took his authority away above the level, and it's not the first time it's happened. It's on a group level. And once again, it's against the black kid. It's against the black guy. Now, do I feel that if this boy was out there being a menace on purpose or doing something that required such as coming at him with a gun or coming at him with a weapon, and this officer shot in self-defense, it wouldn't matter to me whether it was color or not. But this was not one of those things. Chavez, it was not one of those things. Just like Trayvon, just like Jordan, just like Jandai Cherry, all these people, it was not one of those situations. This kid was probably a menace in other situations where, you know, seeing him with the clerk, of course, but that's what white America does. They sit up there and they try to deflect from what the problem is, and they try to show bad character about the victim. This guy is dead now, so you want to show that, see, he really wasn't a good citizen after all. He was 18, if not much, and that's what 18-year-olds do. They're a little menacing. But a cop's job is to say, you know what, get your ass home or do whatever you're supposed to do. This kid was executed, dead point-blank range. This man aimed and fired. This kid was no longer a threat in that respect. He should have been arrested for menacing, if anything. But they went through all of these efforts to say, well, the officer was there in response to his duty because they still told him about a robbery. No, they didn't. When that didn't work, okay, well, see, he was messing with them. So the officer had something in valid to say, right? No, because the officer was not there responding to anything.
Okay.
He was there because he was pissed off that this kid said something back to him. Because now the way it is that white America is like letting you know, you black, you shut up. You walk with your head down. And even if you do that, we can mess with you. And black America is not responding in any way or standing up or doing what they do to stop it from happening. So it continues to go on. I know I'm sick and tired of sending my kids 1 second. I'm a little sick and tired of sending my son out to school praying that he makes it to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not allowed to stand on the corner in twos and threes without being considered troublemakers or about to have a problem happen.
Let me ask you a question, though. Well,
go ahead.
Well, if you prosecute the officer, are you not still going to have to worry about your son going to the bus stop? I mean, that's not going to solve racism just by narrowly trying to execute this officer. We need to you connected with Oscar Grant and all these other kids. We need to look at it on a broader level. We need to look exactly
on a broader level. I see it like this. We've been messed up for so damn long, and things were happening with whether we had action going on or not. But don't we start with some small damn some small action so that we can continue the fight? Don't we make something that's in our face happen? It wouldn't just say that regardless to how big the fear is, regardless to what we know goes on, this would be at least a small victory for us to continue to fight till something happens. Do we continue to sit there and say, listen, my son just happened to be wearing a hoodie with braids. They didn't like the way he looked. They found something to accost him for. Meanwhile, there's a whole big video about a kid walking out in public with a high-powered rifle, and he was telling the officers, give me back my weapon because you have nothing to stop me for. He can walk out there, and at any moment, should he shoot somebody in public, he had the right to bear arms and walk in public. Had that been a black boy, he would have been shot on sight. So do we still walk around saying, listen, it's not going to stop white supremacy because you know what? What's this going to do? Is this going to be another officer just like him? And we have to keep on saying that we're not going to stand for it. And we have to keep on making sure that it happens because they're shooting us whether we're nice or not. They're ostracizing us whether we're behaving or we're not. They're looking for things to dig into the past and whether we are being menacing or not. They consider us menaces anyway. They don't consider us human beings. They never did. But since we're in this position where we are allowed to live supposedly as free people, the least we can do, whether or not it's going to make the big, great thing we're looking for happen, at least we can make enough noise and make enough fight back to say that, look, I may not go down with the best of a sucker punch to you, but at least I went down fighting. Do we have to die with no dignity, too? Everything you do, they shut down, whether you being nice or not. We don't want nothing they have. But they can't stop coming on my show at night to call just to say things like nigger on the air. We're not bothering them. We're not calling Rush Limbaugh and talking about them. But I have a midnight show. And I get quite a few people that's listening from Canada, do whatever, not to add any type of quality to the discussion, but just to let their friends hear them say nigger on the air on what they consider a nigger panel. So with all that we have to take, do we have to go down not standing up for ourselves too? That's the least we owe the generation before us or the 60s civil rights leaders that went through worse than what we're going through and still stood up for what they stood up. The least we owe. No, it's not going to stop. It's not going to make them like us. They don't like us. We got that. And I'm not speaking to those of you who are actual people. I'm speaking to those of you that continue to pretend nothing's happening, but you can't stand aside of us in your neighborhood. And if that's the case, leave us all alone. They cut everything we have. They try to break down everything we have. They steal everything we have. They laughed and joked about all of us back in the day when rap and hip-hop came out. But yet every white artist that's coming out now is not coming out with country music, with heavy metal music, with pop music. They're coming out collaborating with the very people they make fun of and then capitalizing on it and giving those people a better look at it. Because they can't do what we do, and then they turn around and say, you know what, I like the way that looks, though. It's got a little flair. Let's pretty it up our way. Why won't they allow somebody like Denzel Washington to win a Grammy or Emmy or a nomination for all the great work he's done up to this far? Why only consider him a candidate when he was playing a crooked cop? Why did Halle Berry, who's been doing great, great roles all her life, only get nominated for that particular award because she was sleeping with a racist white man as a black crack or mother? Why only emulate the bad side of stuff when black America is not really like that?
You're speaking to a mindset, though, or a type of ideology. When you're trying to attack an ideology, you don't attack specific people. You attack the root cause of the ideology. You attack white supremacy. You don't try to attack the officer himself. You attack what created the mindset in the officer that allowed him to think that a black life is less valuable than a white life. I mean, he can go to jail. You can send the next 100 officers to jail And I can guarantee you there will be 100 more of us willing to kill another black person. That's not going to stop them. It never has, and it never will.
And more times we have to fight back. That's the way I see it. Until none of us have breath, until this world comes to an end, until they get it. Because eventually, trust me when I tell you, if we start thinking about the things that really affect them, somehow, some way, even if it's on a closeted level, we'll get a little something happen. But when your kid walks out the damn door and can't stand us, drop his phone on the floor without them thinking it's a weapon in his pocket, there's the problem. When your child can't go to the backyard and drop garbage without getting shot in the alleyway, and that person gets away once again, would they allow your black child to commit a crime like that and keep it moving? And you know what? It doesn't matter how grave, severe, intense, or minor an infraction was from a black to a white kid. There's going to be an outrage until something horrible happens. How many of our black prisoners are in jail right now for nonviolent offenses and got life sentences on?
Over half of them. Over half.
Okay, how many? But why is that happening? Because half of us are sitting up there pretending we're them. Other half is too afraid to let go of the trinkets that they give us while they make us jump through hoops to have and keep it. And the other half of us are too afraid to say anything. And then the last quarter of us are the only ones fighting, and then we get dejected. And that's what they count on. They study us, and we're sitting up there fighting each other, being skeptical with each other, rather than looking at the storm that's been blowing our way quite a bit. There's a time where that's been waiting. Hang on 1 second. Welcome to the show, Corey, on the air.
Good evening, KD. This is Al, Al Tariq calling from Alabama.
Hey, Al Tariq, how are you? I'm going to be with my just this quick second. I just want to finish out this point, and then I'm going to ask you the top question for the evening. So that's what I was saying, Shaw, that we already know. This is what I try to tell our people quite often. We spend too much time trying to talk about the things that we already know is there, won't change. It won't change the way it is. As long as we shut up, they're content, we're content, we're quiet, it won't go anywhere. But as long as we keep on having some noise, eventually something is going to happen. We owe that to our children because we damn sure had that village. We sure did. And don't you think that back then our parents were sitting up there getting the same racist crap going on? The same type of everything. We all know what it was like, but still they stood there and found us to be a valuable treasure to protect. We can't sit there and tell these kids that's been up there telling the world that they don't like what's taking place. That it was for nothing. Not prosecute this man so he can go back home and say, ooh, yeah. See, that's all it took him to go again. We're like bar jokes to them. We're country club jokes. We're whipping ponies. We're sitting up there saying that we don't like what you said, so we're going to turn our jerseys around for 2 minutes, but we're going to get back on that court and play for you anyway. They don't understand any type of human connection. They understand losing money. So we need to stop funding them with the things that we buy from them. They don't understand that there's grief and pain when a person loses their child. They understand you to be funding for them. They understand you to be a percentage of funding coming from them. That's why public school children have to be in class all the time or they send out people to invade your home. That's why they try to denounce homeschooling to the black community. Because why? If you take your child out of school, then you take their money out of their pocket. That's why white public schools, private schools, get to close down the minute the weatherman says there's going to be a storm, which they haven't even figured out how many inches yet of snow is coming down. Oh, no, we don't know. But you know what? Just to be safe, close it down. Meanwhile, urban city children got to wait an extra hour in the morning for the news to say whether or not their schools will be closed. So I ask you again, there's a black elector out there, there's a hypothetical that's coming out there that has a great story about real true success in the black American world, and they go to Hollywood, and Hollywood says, nah, this is not what we're looking for. Now that same director comes back and shows, you know, state of poverty or, you know, whatever the case is, showing us all dressing up with our pants hanging down and too much green and shooting up each other, calling each other bitches and old and all this other stuff. And that's the blockbuster of the century. Why is that? Because it shows us as clowns, it shows us as thugs, it shows us as a separated family. We have no value for each other. Let it go. Ray Rice, would you, as much as, let's take off what the problem should have been focused on. Let's take off the fact that this guy, this is what this case should have been about. He committed something that was stupid and so did she. She charged at him. She felt she could punch on him. She felt she could spit at him, a trained linebacker in a contact sport for a living. She felt she could do that, right? We watched the horrific things that took place. We watched him drag a limp body out of the thing. Guess what? They should have addressed that then when they knew all about it. Now, 5 months later, after this couple has decided to get past that, however much we don't like it, now they want to act like they're making an example because domestic violence is such a horrible thing and they don't tolerate it. What happened to Brent Myers dragging his wife from the stadium to the lobby in front of people and got to go back and play? And got told later on that the couples have decided to go to counseling, so we're leaving it alone and allowing them the right to privacy. And he's still playing. Is
right. I guess it's whoever is making the.
I say so. Altarique,
it's whoever is making the NFL more money.
Is small disruption a big market in capitalist America?
So they use these football players as pawns in a way.
Nikki, the mic is going to Altarique right now. Okay, Altarique, did you hear me, honey?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, is our oppression, tragedy, and destruction in Black America the big market for capitalist white America?
Oh, that's what it's been founded upon. So really, when you think about it, of course, you know, it's not like it's just changed, because when you just look at the areas, you know, and how we are basically consumers and not owners, that shows you it all. You know, that's all you really have to look at. Regardless of different strides where so many different ones of us may be kind of like CEOs maybe, or, you know, managers and supervisors of different big corporations and stuff, we aren't leaders. We aren't the owners. See, who run things is those who own things. You know, just like us in the big cities who are leaving out there, they're tearing down these different projects, selling them at a certain price, and those who have the money, you know, which is not predominantly us, we're getting moved out. You know, the gentrification process, there's all different types of red line things going on that we don't even see, and it's happening right in our face. So, of course, it's that way. You know, and just like I said before, you know, to somebody, I told an older man, and he's dead and gone now. He said he loved it. He said he'd never forget that. And I told him, I said, you know something? I said, a man who doesn't own the land is controlled by the man who does. You know, and he said, that's true. You know, and that's what we're basically up under capitalism and stuff. It's always been about land. You know, and the furtherance of those who have power. So when it comes down to it, the ones who are the least on the total pole of power will be treated the worst. And that's why we see the things that happen to us, especially when you've been branded the worst. Other people have been branded now, you know, but the thing is, we're the ones who get the worst of the brunt of the branding and the worst of the treatment of the branding, because whenever you look up, you see some black person, you know, and especially black males, that's really catching hell, you know. And it's just really sad, because, you know, how can we live here and we say that this is about liberty and justice for all when you see that it's not that way? That's very hypocritical. And I don't believe that necessarily that capitalism means freedom and justice for all, because there's only a few who's getting all that money. You know, for the most part, a few people hold most of the wealth of the world, while the rest of the world is hurting. So where's the freedom at in that? Where's the justice in that? You know, and where's the equality in that? So when you have that, then you're going to have an imbalance of priorities, of accountability. You're going to have those things. Because if you leave with people broken, without money, impoverished, you know, and you also got them where they have gotten to be, as Martin Luther King said, a poverty of the soul. You know, what else do you expect to happen? It's going to be crimes. It's going to be violence. But all of this really is mapped out. This is not the place where you can come and think that you're just going to get everything in this great land of milk and honey, and they tell everybody around the world this. But if you notice, wherever we went as far as this nation, you know, I can't really say my people because we were under the people who were doing certain things. But when we go and handle people in Iraq and Iran and all that stuff and bring something to them, it doesn't never really help to elevate those people. It keeps them in control and in debt the same way that black people and other people of color who's not as worse off as us. But there are some people that's as worse, but at least they have unity. We've been worked on so hard because of the strides that we made. We don't even have the privilege in this country to truly know about our own history unless we learn it for ourselves. So that shows you what capitalism really is all about. And it is about white supremacy, but because there's so many fronts of it, it's hard for most people to look at it that way, and a lot of people don't want to look at it that way because they want to believe in this fairness thing and fairness for all. But that's really a front because many people in this country are poor. So you can't front on the people without them eventually finding out when it's only a few of y'all getting it, and most of us, we see you. And that's what's going on. And what the brother said earlier, you still have to start somewhere. Slavery, let alone white supremacy, slavery started out with a few people they was getting. And then it got to where it went all across the diaspora. So it's the same process that you have to take with these crooked cops and everything. We have to win small battles before we start winning wars. So, yes, that man, he does need to be prosecuted. They have laws made up for these people where they get the benefit of the doubt just because they're mm-hmm. law enforcement. And that's not right. So we should fight, yeah. And we should be fighting to help get these type of unjust practices changed. So if we fight in the right manner, then I say that is good that we go ahead and get these certain ones prosecuted, because then when you start doing that starts sending messages out. But if it keeps being the way that it was, then that makes it where hey, he got away and this other one got away and they're still getting away, then they're going to do it more. But when you show that it's consequences, then that's going to slow them up at least. So, yeah. We should have him prosecuted. Everyone else that comes after him should be prosecuted. At the same time, attacking white supremacy and injustice of any kind on all fronts. And until then, things will just stay the same.
Can I say a few words about that? First off, before I mention that what he said about the prosecution, let me first mention about him and what he said about capitalism. I don't necessarily think capitalism or communism or any ideology by itself is the problem. I believe that is how it's been practiced within the United States or it's within other countries. That's really the problem of it. I mean, when you look at themselves, they work, but at the same time, you have to look at global politics, how they work with other people's ideologies and all of that, in order to determine if it's the best system for you to use. So I haven't said all that. What he said about the prosecution, how the officer who shot Mike Brown should be prosecuted, let's think about it. What if this man is prosecuted? What's going to happen? If he does get prosecuted, this ends our conversation. You get all these pundits and whatnot on television talking about the crime has been solved, now racism is finally over. Get all these black people and get all Sharpton and whatnot talking about how justice has been achieved and what happens after that. I mean, black people are pacified pretty much after that.
I'd rather Darren Wilson, the officer who shot my grandma, I'd rather him go free.
And then I want to see how black people react to that. Will they finally understand that the system isn't for them? Will they finally understand that they need to start taking the resources into their own hands and creating their own community? I'd rather him go free and black people wake up than him be prosecuted and black people go to prosecuted. Because this one man, this one man who killed one black person has gotten prosecuted.
Can I answer that? The one thing, I agree to a big point of what you said on that, but at the same time, I feel as though he still should be prosecuted. Attack all fronts. I didn't just say the one point. I agree with what you're saying, too. But I agree that if anyone, because if somebody does something to your family member, you're going to want to prosecute. You're not going to say, well, oh, okay, just let him go. You're not going to say, just let him go. If somebody hurt your family, that's what you're going to say, let him go?
I understand.
Matter of fact, because you're an intelligent person. You're going to want him prosecuted. So if that's my family, I'm going to want him prosecuted too. So while working on what you said, because I agree with that 100%, we do need to build up for ourselves. That's my whole thing. But at the same time, injustices needs to be addressed at the same time, no matter black, no matter white, no matter whoever, because that's the problem, the injustice of everything. And that's what we're faced with.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that little point right there. We often say that. We often say we need to build for ourselves. We know this. This is the part that I have a hard time with when I'm hearing all of these, like, you know, powerful brothers and sisters that are out there that are aware, enlightened, that are trying. Here's my situation. What we seem to forget is, that is a long-term process that needs to be worked on, and many things in that long-term process can be established immediately. But like I say, if you put this into the analogy of everyday living, okay, we want to get a house, we live in an apartment right now, okay? In order for that to happen, you need money. Now, you're making money, but you got to take care of your daily bills first. So with that being said, you've got to save the money above your expenses to get toward the goal of that house. You're still living in a house. You still have utilities to pay. So you have to do your everyday things while you work on that long-term goal. What people seem to forget in our race is this. While we have to work on the fact that we need to get our group economics together and everything like that, we still got to protect all the imminent dangers that are happening now. We still have to address our daily situations. This is a daily situation. Unfortunately, it's a daily situation. Cops are shooting down the black men, and mainly black men, because of what they represent, the future, procreation, leadership, if they all have their head together. Okay, so let's get rid of them. They're too big for us. They're too powerful looking. They're too smart. They're too whatever. You can call them all the names you want, white America. I really don't care. That's what bullies do to keep people down so that they can't recognize their own strength. We can't let not one of these people get away like they don't let us get away with stuff that we don't really even do. You tell me, what was Jonathan Farrell's crime? You tell me, what was Jendai Sherry's crime? He was victim of a fight with his friend who stole his clothes as a pool prank. He had nothing to do but to run home naked, and some guy who had nothing to do with him made a U-turn to shoot him dead. He wasn't finding this guy molesting some girl in the process. He wasn't being accosted by a naked black man. He didn't like the fact that there was a naked black man running the streets. And he shot him dead. That's what they do. They don't stop to find out what the problem is. When they see a black person, they stop to kill them. I like that these cops are not thinking to help black kids that's in trouble. They're allowing all these white teens to go out there and express themselves through troubled times. They're allowed to go and rehabilitate. When a black kid is out there throwing, I don't know, rocks at somebody's window, they're shot down. They're not taking in what's the matter with you. Go home. Stop being a jerk. That's what they say to white teens. who are busy while they're drunk, drinking to their limits or beyond, saying they're going to go kill a nigga or go do this or go rape a bitch. That's what they say. Go home, break it up, get out of here, go to your mother. If you let a black kid say that who's not drinking, standing on the corner with two of his friends, that is line him up and shoot him down. Now, I'm going to tell you about a little interesting conversation that I had with a couple of authority figures, okay? Let me start with a history teacher who sat there and said, we don't want to give the students the impression that all slave masters were bad. There were quite a few slave masters, take Abraham Lincoln, for example, that were nice to their slaves, forgetting the fact, you ignorant woman, that there shouldn't have been slaves. That's the situation. So that's the first thing. There shouldn't have been a group of people who were enslaved to any other group of people. So that's number one. Number two, let's go to a person that's supposed to be a family regulator. We all know who they're called, ACS, Department of Children and Family Services, whatever you want to call them, who told a mother who was having a problem with her teen son, who, by the way, the teen son grew up witnessing his father beating on his mother. And when he was acting out, because he doesn't know how to deal with his pain, okay, and the mother and him are getting into it, and she still has been trying her best to keep him in line and figure out what's going on with him, but he doesn't know how to communicate. So what she did a couple of times when this person had to show up at her house, and she told this to the ACS worker, was, listen, there's plenty of times I've tried. I pretended I was calling the cops. I did whatever. Well, you see, if you were to go to a judge now, a judge would hear what you said and would tell you that you didn't really make any efforts to try to help your son. What? Well, like you said, he got a little violent or aggressive, and you said you pretended to call the cops, but you didn't really do it. I said, what do you think that this mother should feel with a black son in this day and age? Do you really believe that her calling the cop on her son, her black teenage son, is something that's helpful to him?
Definitely not.
So what would a judge have said if this kid was sent to the cops and the cops shot him? That she did the right thing? Probably so. Now, what did that do for the mother and the problem?
In today's society, I just want to comment for a second. In today's society, I'm just going to, you know, like, not from my perspective, but as someone who is white, who's been around a lot of white people, I can tell you some of their perspectives, which is they don't see black people as human. They see them as, you know, that word. And basically, they see the average black man as a son of a single mother who gets to do whatever the hell he wants, and he goes and he joins a gang, and if the cops stop him, he's not 100% innocent anyway. So he deserved to die. And basically, you know, that's how the legal justice system works, is I don't think that there are certain judges that see, I guess, quote-unquote, thugs as people. You know, they don't recognize black people as people when they are, but I don't know. It's just they're, I think that black people, even though it's a taboo subject, and, you know, a lot of people will say, I'm not racist and everything, but the truth is when you're sitting on that jury and you're hearing a case, like, a lot of white people on that jury are thinking, well, he's a thug, he deserves to get shot, you know? But right. They won't outright say it, but it's kind of like I don't know how to say it. It's kind of a taboo subject for white Americans, racism, because they don't want to acknowledge that they're racist. They don't even know that they're racist, you know? And I think that they try to patronize black people and try to be overly nice in their face, and then, you know, then make jokes about them behind their back, but try to be all PC, calling them African American and, trying to do their best not to offend them and make it to where they try to make it seem like they don't think that they're better than them, which a lot of white people do, unfortunately. That's just how it is. In the white perspective, are entitled, angry, people who are not 100% innocent anyway. So there's no point in hearing their testimony because most of what they're saying is going to be a lie. And I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm saying that is the vast majority of the white people's opinion.
I appreciate your response.
Well, if it was your opinion, that was a pretty decent one as far as you recognizing what you see in your own kind. And absolutely it is. They don't see us as people. Caller, I see you there. I'll bring you in just 1 second. They don't see us as people. It's been evident in the fact of how we got here. It's evident in the way that there had to be a civil rights revolution back in the 60s. It's evident as hell now. It's evident in the way that we as a people are confused about our own identities, confused about where loyalty should stand, confused about what we're supposed to value anymore. It's evident in what we achieve or strive to achieve as in honor of success, quote, unquote. It's evident in the way that the mainstream Hollywood media and all sorts of other high-powered authorities and power figures allow for blacks to be depicted. It's evident in the way that a poor white neighborhood doesn't suffer like a poor black neighborhood would. Gentrification, as you mentioned, Al-Tariq, they forget that the people that they're gentrifying has been living with the very things for so long when they've complained their asses off and got no response. Now some greedy little real estate mogul came in and saw the value in these dilapidated ghetto places and decided to not help the people who've been living there for 30 years live better, but now to get them the hell out and send them off to where? Some isolated exile island somewhere? And take over? And then if they do gentrify with the people that's been there, they don't offer those people who've been looking for jobs the first access to positions open to these companies that they built in this gentrification in that area. They go outside. They don't address the homelessness that's in those areas. They sit there and they'll build buildings so they can import outsiders for colleges in the neighborhood or off-campus corporate housing.
Yeah, and a lot of white people don't see it that way because they probably think that, it's so easy for a black woman to get on welfare and food stamps anyway, so she'll be covered.
And let me explain this to you. Don't no black woman want to choose welfare if there was another option. Nobody. I don't know why everybody walks around thinking that that's something people want to be on. And for those of you that do it, you're an idiot. Let me bring in our other panelists so we continue off the discussion and they won't be on all too long. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
How are you doing, sister? It's Kevin Crosby with the Panther Party. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. How are you? All right. Our question of the evening is, does white America capitalize off of the most, whatever the biggest destruction or oppression or bad depiction of blacks are?
Yes. Yes, but that's why it's set up that way. You can't have a group of people that you're trying to oppress thinking for themselves, either as a group or individually. So yes, the sad thing is that we are actually very complicit in that. You know, we spend money with the same ones that want to deny us. Right now, a lot of black people right now have a box of Cheerios in their cupboard. They're going to give them to their kids in the morning. They're not going to think nothing of it. But by supporting Cheerios, you support the Koch brothers, who have an agenda that is definitely to take away as many rights and privileges from those that are already oppressed as possible. This includes poor white people as well. You know, this isn't all about race. Part of it's about class as well. So, you know, if you use Angel Soft toilet tissue, a lot of people buy it. It's pretty inexpensive, pretty decent toilet tissue. They're supporting the Koch brothers when they do that, you know. Most of your dollar stores in the hood, they're not owned by black people. They're not owned by Hispanic people. They're not owned by ethnics, period. They're owned by usually very rich white people who are using your pennies against you. So, yes.
All Middle Eastern, because I've seen a lot of them owned by Middle Eastern franchises as well. And I've seen that, and you're absolutely right. That's the big thing now. That's the next big phase and wave. And as a matter of fact, what I'm starting to notice, too, as well, is that the black athlete defaming, ostracizing, and dissecting, the black athlete is like the new wave of stuff coming through to mow us down. We have got to stop letting these backdoor entrances happen. I mean, it's like we'll look right at the tornado funnel with enough time to head to shelter, and we'll sit right there and go, that's not a tornado for us, because it's not as bad as it looks, not really. I mean, it'll probably knock down a few trees, but we'll still have our house. Meanwhile, the people are sitting there going, hey, come here, we got the cellar, let's go. I'll bring you and your family. Well, yeah, why would you do that? There's got to be something to that. You're a black person trying to help a black person? Yeah, right. What's that about? That's how stupid we've become.
Well, actually, sister, I have a problem with the Adrian Peterson story, only because when I got my ass whooped, it didn't make the news. I just got my ass whooped. And I probably, you know, deserved it at that moment, and it was just discipline. Somebody saw a way to make a story out of this, and it was connected to what else is going on with the NFL and Ray Rice. It's more of a distraction to keep,
I agree
the eyeballs off of those.
People
tend
to
really
understand what the difference between abuse and discipline is. Mm-hmm. Abuse is when you're a drunk bastard and all you want to do is look at your kid and get pissed off that the father left or the mother left. They look like them, and all you do is beat them because it makes you feel better. All right? Discipline is when you went out there.
You don't think there was one person?
You've done something that could have hurt yourself or others. Your parent has told you about this 150 times. You got into some real deep stuff that could have been really bad for you. You got your butt beat. They sat you down, told you why it happened, loved you, and kept it moving. Now some people might think that harsh punishment without the corporate side of it is a thing. But look, our generation grew up with it, and we didn't grow up bombing people's schools.
You guys don't think those cuts was a bit excessive?
I don't know who's speaking, but I can barely hear you.
It's Chavez. I'm saying you guys don't think those cuts was a little bit excessive?
I'm not saying that it was or it isn't. I'm just saying, let me ask you something. Okay, that what he did, listen, I wasn't in favor of getting whipped with weapons when I was a little east. Okay, but let me ask you something. When Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson was having a so-called children's birthday party where there were people there with lines of cocaine during the daytime hours, I'm not talking about those traditional routines that it starts out as the kids' party, the kids go to bed, and the adults continue it and do their thing. But there's lines of cocaine, there's excessive alcohol. Some kid drowns in a pool in this party. Another child got his butt spanked from somebody who was drunk and drugged up, and that chick got knocked and turned over, and these couple got to grow up, act more stupid, and just divorce themselves. What was the reason?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that.
What'd you say, Nikki?
I'd like to comment on that.
Go ahead.
It's just, there's some parts where I don't agree with you about, like, Adrian using that amount of force on a four-year-old. I thought that did cross over to abuse in a way. I think he deserved to get arrested. It had nothing to do with him being black. It's just to use that and to leave marks like that on a four-year-old that are like 5 centimeters, you know, and like there are 5 marks, and there are marks on his hand. I mean, that is a little excessive for a little kid.
I believe.
Here's what I find crazy is that now everybody wants to jump on him for spanking his child, but much worse was done as part of the Americana of this country. And nobody even speaks about that. I mean, maybe what it is that we shouldn't have taken those lessons from slavery, because most of that's come from that, whipping people and to get them to comply and stuff. I mean, I'm not for that either, but
at the same time, Adrian Peterson plays football. That does not mean that every move that he makes has to be under scrutiny. If he spanks his child, and his child is, you know, I like I said, I don't agree with abuse, but I'm not against spanking your child. It would keep a whole lot of them out of the prison system.
Yep. Hey, yeah, I agree.
Can I comment on it? I disagree with the last point about what your child keeps is out of the prison system. I heavily disagree with that. There's no correlation between corporal punishment and whether or not your child is incarcerated or not. As a matter of fact, I have somebody told me that they visited a prison, and many of the people that they know that are in prison have been whipped before. I've been whipped as a child before, but that just made me understand how to keep away from my parents. That didn't teach me what's right and what's wrong. I learned from what's right and what's wrong by going through it. I believe there are other ways of going through. I believe there are other ways of punishing a child and teaching them what's good and what's bad. Having said all that, though, how I feel about the Ray Rice situation, everybody is acting brand new like this hasn't been going on for centuries. Like we haven't been, like it ended a century ago. People know that people have been whipping their childs. It's nothing new. So I don't understand why when this happens, everybody wakes up and says, oh, my gosh, that is so terrible. Like, it didn't happen. We just understand that Adrian Peterson took it a little bit too far. That doesn't necessarily mean that he was in the wrong. He had the right intent. It's not like he just came home drunk one night and decided he was going to go crazy on his little child. He tried to discipline him.
Right? You need to move a little closer to your mic and speak up a little bit.
If he wasn't Adrian Peterson, this wouldn't have been a story. If he was not who he is, this would not have been a story.
I agree with that. I agree with that, Kevin. I agree with that. I do. I'm not saying, listen, regardless to our personal taste about discipline with the children or whatever, this man did not submerge his child in hot oil or whip him in with a wet bathtub or anything. Now, I'm agreeing a little bit on the point with Nikki and Chaldez. Maybe, I think that might have been a little bit excessive in what he did, but it wouldn't have been a story if this had been if this wasn't Adrian Peterson, especially since quite a few of them tried to make some comparisons to the fact of the tragedy he just suffered.
I have an example of it working because I thank my mother for those ass whoopings that she gave me. They definitely helped me to avoid a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, a whole
I'd
lot.
Like to say
and
something.
I didn't think they were righteous at the time, but in hindsight, considering that I'm not in a cell, and believe me, I was a knucklehead, complete knucklehead, but I got lucky. I got
you worrying about what
one.
Was going to happen when you got
but,
home
but,
from the
but,
line
but
of people that was there, from your uncle
yeah.
to your grandmother to your aunt
kept,
to the babysitter.
That kept me, yeah.
You know, when but you were worried about
I knew,
that,
I knew there was a consequence to any of my actions. There was a consequence.
Exactly.
And I believe
you
if you take discipline out of the realm, and see, this system has kind of taken it out. I find it ironic that a system that whipped people into submission now has a problem with those people whipping their children to keep
Precisely.
Them out of their prison system.
Precisely. They're telling you in school that if your child shows up to school with a welt or a mark or anything, it needs to be investigated and reported by a mandate. Yet and still, now they're flipping the damn script and telling you, you can't hit your kid, but the teachers get to hit them to the point of 6 to 7 strikes and to bring marks. So you tell me how twisted of a hell that is. They're going to tell you, the parent, who's your job, to continuously make sure you discipline and mold your child's character for the future, that your rights are taken away. You can go to jail for raising your natural-born child your way, but that they can take your whips and hit your child with weapons. And produce marks.
Yeah. I'd be in the county jail if I lived there because, I'm not a mother, but if someone was hitting my child, you know, and
exactly
I didn't know
what
that
I said when
person.
I did our segment, Nikki. I wish a teacher would. I wish a teacher would. I don't give a damn about no mandates. Let me tell you something. If you don't do it as a parent, your little whip or your little whatever, if you are a person that deals with spanking, when they get the hell up and grow up to be 16, some white cop is going to do it with their billy club, or some pimp is going to do it with his gun. Now, you think real hard about that.
I definitely do believe in spanking. Don't get me wrong. I do believe in spanking. I don't believe in doing it to the point where there are marks on a child. I do believe in discipline, and here's why. And this is not just about black people. This is
how can you strike someone without leaving a mark? How do you do that? How do you strike someone without leaving a mark?
Can I ask you guys a question? Why is physically
Who asked that question? Was it you, Kevin?
Yes. I'm just curious.
Okay.
You said,
no, I think I know where she's trying to go with it.
Then how do you strike someone without leaving a mark? And I understand what she's saying, too.
I understand where Nikki's going with it. I understand what she means. She means to the point of injury or outrageous, whatever. I get that part.
That goes to abuse. That's an assault. That's different.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying there's a fine line between abuse and discipline, you know. I believe there should be discipline because you need to teach your child respect. Because if your child doesn't respect you, then they're not going to respect their teachers. Then they're not going to respect the law. They're not going to respect the police. They're not going to respect the court system or a judge. So you have to instill respect.
I mean, with all due respect, sister, all of those entities have to earn their respect by being correct. They earn their respect. Me spanking my child has nothing to do with her respecting an entity that doesn't respect her.
Well, that's true.
And, you know.
Can I chime in?
Go on.
I want to ask the guy specifically a question who said that the butt whippings actually kept him out of prison. I want to ask him. I want to respond with a question. Like, is it necessarily?
My name's Kevin.
Okay, Kevin. I'm sorry, Kevin. Is it necessary? Was it necessarily the whoopings that kept you out of prison, or was it the love that you understood as a result of the whoopings that kept you out of prison?
Actually, it was the fear that was instilled in me about the prison system that, as an adult, I made choices to not go into that system. And when I was doing crime, I made sure that I thought about it and accepted that there would be a consequence should I get caught. Fortunately, I didn't get caught.
So this was another form of discipline. Wasn't necessarily a physical discipline. You see what I'm getting at?
The physical discipline taught me that
there's consequences to actions. That's what all discipline does, is teach you that there's a consequence to an action.
It is a behavior modification.
That's what it is. I don't feel that any child should be beaten to within an inch of their life. I don't feel that anything that they do should be taken to that level. And I don't believe in that, you know, let the punishment fit the crime when it comes to children. They're still children. You know, our job is to teach them, you know, and if we can't talk to them, and at some point, I got a 14-year-old. Okay, some days she ain't hearing nothing I'm saying. And what am I supposed to do, get a stick and just beat her until she listens? That's not going to work. That can have an adverse effect to what I'm trying to do. So, you know, unfortunately, we have too much government intrusion into dealing with our children to the point we don't even know how to deal with them anymore, because they have 15 agencies that the moment you strike your child, you know, even if you don't leave a mark, the moment you strike your child, if your child knows that they can call some, you know, there was a joke one time somebody said that they call that 800 number, you know, for the abuse, and they mama answered the phone. You know what I'm saying? So what would you do then? Well, you know what I'm saying? So
let me interject a little bit there, Kevin, what you just said. And Chavez, to say the same with you. Now, look, I'm a mother of many children, okay, all biological, just to let you know. And I'm going to tell you that different children respond to differently to authority, okay? Now, I've got a daughter that if I raise my voice, she's crying and she's going to go and comply, okay? I've got another one that will be a little tough a little longer, But once that threat of physical anything comes through, they're hustling like a mouse that just got the light turned on them. Okay? Then I've got one that looks at me like, yeah, right, all right, whatever. All right, yeah, I hear you. Okay, then what? Okay, now, you let that same kid with that little tough, I could take you on at any minute mentality go the hell outside to the society, and you tell me what they're going to get. And the first thing the society is going to say, should that kid act out, is what the hell was your mother and father doing with you at home? Now, the way that what I wanted to touch on with you, Kevin, when you spoke about the government agencies, is this. This damn nation has instilled so many, contradictory rules, okay, where they say one thing and in the same damn breath they contradict their own rules, saying this. Your child at 15, 14, 13 can go to the school office, look at a whole candy cookie jar of different colored condoms, contraceptive methods, X, Y, and Z, can have access to that without a parent's consent, go have sex, get pregnant, get an abortion, do whatever. However, should that contraceptive method, okay, have an adverse medical effect on them, they can't be treated for that medical problem without parental consent.
Exactly.
Mm. That's one.
Exactly.
Number two, the law tells your 16 to almost 17-year-old child that if you should graduate high school early, at 17, you no longer need to have your mother present for the policeman to interview your children. You are 17. They can stop you now. They can speak to you. However, should that same 17-year-old who's been told by the law that they've got some emancipation to a point be kicked out of the house because they think they're grown in your house, then you have ACS on your damn doorstep asking you why you kicked out your violent or smart-ass 17-year-old kid. Because they're still a minor. You see how that works? So how the hell does a parent address their own child? Because what happens is the law claims to be caring about the welfare of children, who, by the way, they created the mess for the kids, don't have a real option because since they're not directly in your personal homes, they don't know the details of your personal life situation. So they're going to go to this little board meeting room, you know, where they have these little, general survey says type information and data about the general public. So they figure that based on a couple of published journals by a couple of psychological associations, that teens generally respond this way, or they're generally doing this because they feel this way, or if a child turns out to be a serial killer, they grew up in violence. And so with that being said, the child must be protected. Now with that being said, they forget the fact that these immature children who are trying to get the hell out of restrictions because they feel they've got hair on their chest and breasts, okay? They don't want to hear that they can't go in outside to a party past 9 o'clock on a Wednesday. So, I'll just call the 800 number and tell the 800 number that my daddy and mommy beat me down. Not going to tell them that I tried to punch them first.
Right.
Okay, they're not going to tell them that they forbid me to go because they found me screwing three guys in the back of a car somewhere, or that my child is 14 and going to get a girl pregnant. Okay, that's not what they're going to tell when they call this 800 number. So now you got some fresh out of high school or college certified social worker who has no children, don't even have a niece, coming with a book that tells you what the American Psychological Association says should be the situation. And that even if they're charging at you with a knife, you are supposed to put them on a timeout. Kiss my toes. Okay?
Yeah, and
kiss my
funny
toes.
Is,
you're going to sit there and tell me that if there's a four-year-old kid with scissors headed to an electrical outlet, you're supposed to go, no, honey, no, timeout, dear. And they get back up to go back it again, or they're coming at their newborn sister with scissors because they feel it's fun. Or they don't like the fact that there's a little baby taking away their toys. So you're going to tell that kid time out? I think not.
How common is that? It's very common.
I don't think so. Have you been around the modern-day teens?
Even the nicest of teams have been modified to, I don't know, some mutant type or whatever, with all the cyber stuff going on, with all of the cell phone situations going on, with all of the internet download stuff that can happen.
With
all the liberations of these children before they're supposed to be liberated, given to against the parents.
That's very. Those are very extreme cases. You're not citing common.
It's not that extreme. You have a 4-year old.
You're not.
Who's still curious
you're not.
And learning.
Have you
so
seen the
really
survey
that,
of how many
extreme.
Children are in foster
I mean,
care? Have you
listen,
seen the cases
yeah.
of how many black children are in foster care because somebody told the government that their parents beat them up? That's not what happened. They came in drunk and was charging. They didn't like what their mom and dad had to say. And they got out because the foster care system tells them, we're going to give you money for clothes, we're going to send you to school, and after you're 21, you're going to get to go to get your own housing.
Let me make two quick points.
Mm-hmm.
One, when there's a child, like Kevin said, I said your name right. He said that
yes.
there's a child that's curious and that's still trying to learn. So you're going to whip him for doing something that he doesn't understand and expect that is going to happen. He just going to, I can't do this in front of her. That's all that he learns. He doesn't learn, oh, this is wrong not to put this in here.
Yeah, but brother, being reasonable,
that's
the reasonable approach to that. I understand what you're saying. But if haven't raised a child, you know, haven't dealt with females with children, trust me, they're not going to always be reasonable. There is going to be that moment where you will be tested. And how you respond to that will determine which path that child, what lesson they get from that and what path they wind up on. I mean, that's just natural.
I think that's
natural.
That says about how you raise that child. In addition, the second point I wanted to make, you guys were asking how do you deal with basically a child that refuses to listen to their parent. And if you guys don't know, it's illegal for a child to disobey their parents. If a child disobeys their parents, you can have
them. But are you going to trust the same system that's basically fucking up your relationship to help fix it? I mean, if they had stayed out of it.
There was a CPS worker that told somebody to call the cops on their
people,
black troubled teen. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Most people are not trying to harm
you.
Their children.
So listen,
most people aren't really trying to harm their children. But there has to be a consequence when a child is not listening to you and the child is not taking care of you. You're taking care of that child. Part of that is to make sure that that child understands that there is consequence to certain actions. Now, if they're going to rebuke you or they're going to go against you, what choice do you have? What are you going to do? Are you going to call the law? Are you going to call ACS? Are you going to call one of these agencies that once they get into your business, they don't get out? And I haven't seen where ACS has come in and fixed anything. If anything, everything they've touched, they've made it worse. They have
enough.
Always
been
worse.
I just wanted to say something for a second.
Go ahead, Nikki.
Well, it's just funny how, like, you know, the government likes to invade in, you know, family business about, like, spanking or disciplining your child and telling you how to do it, you know, and the social worker who knows nothing about kids can take your kids away and put them in foster care, which, by the way, is not that much better, or actually it's a lot worse most of the time. And they make these parents who are, quote-unquote, abusers, take parenting classes from a teacher who does not have kids, and that teacher basically tells them how they're supposed to discipline them. And it's like, by the book, you know, what you're supposed to do. And that's, like, so ridiculous, like, to have someone who does not know jack shit about raising children.
Honestly,
you
just
drive them to jail. What?
All the details of that family's life. They don't know anything about anything. They don't even, even while they're investigating you, they don't sit there and try to ask you how did it get to this point. They ask you about the incident that was reported, the allegations that were made. They don't give a damn about how it got there. They don't care that you and that team have sat down and had billions and billions of attempts to try to make it work, or that you've done anything in your power not to strike your child or not to do whatever. They don't give a damn about that. They care about the fact that the city gave them a checklist. They have to go down the little line and check off each of the boxes, and they got to figure out if they made their quota for the day. Because, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Department of Social Services that comes for your kids has a quota to make, too. Okay, and as far as what you said, Nikki, with foster care is a lot worse most of the time, it is a lot worse. It is a lot worse. That cute little stuff that you see in those Lifetime movies does not exist in the foster care world. Not only do they remove the children from the home they were born into, which they should have been trying to give help to make whatever bridge and communication gap has been broken restored, they take your child out, put him into a house full of other nameless children who have different type of psychological problems with no real parents there to nurture them along. They give them a check. They give the people a check that watch them, and that's it. They don't come around to check on them or do anything until it's time to show their bosses that they've done their monthly agenda for the week.
And you know what's sad about them is they work those children like slaves. They make them do stuff around the house where they do absolutely nothing, you know, the foster parents. And some, allegedly, there have been some that have, reported to molest some of the kids that they're supposed to be taking care of. It's like there's no accountability.
Exactly.
And somehow we're rescuing them from the quote-unquote abusive parents that spank their child. There is a difference between spanking a child and abusing your child. I think that
we just mentioned that when you sit down and explain to this child, this action took place because you were told this. This could have happened to you. You went out there and you faked an ID to get into a drug house or something to that effect. And you sat down and you explained, this is what's going on. This is why it happened. And this is what's going to be your punishment. But because I love you and I don't want to see anything happen to you. Hold on one second, because there's not much time left in the segment and there is someone trying to get in. Hang on. Welcome to the show, Cole. You on the air?
Well, yeah, thank you for answering. Hello. Thank you for picking up my phone call first, ma'am. And this seems to be, and I listened to you quite a while here, this seems to be an epidemic going on here. All right?
Eight.
You know what I mean? Well, let's start with the NFL. What happened? Zepi, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we're asking her questions.
They must have dropped out.
No, she's still there. But it's an epidemic that's going on in the NFL, in our daily life, ma'am. It should be, I blame it on Muslims and Arabs for now the Quran and how they treat people from the Quran and how they treat women.
What the hell does the Quran or Muslims have to do with
I'm waiting on the troll to come out so we can figure out what's up. Okay, go ahead, sir. You were saying?
Yeah, this originates from the Muslims, believe it or not, and how they treat their women in the Quran and how they've degraded women over 1,300 years and how they treat their children, all right? Just slipped into Western culture, all right? I mean, if you look at the tragedy going on in the NFL currently, all right, there's four people that have now been, put on the stage that they are either wife beaters or child beaters, all right? And the foster care system, we all know, is a failure. It's just an abject failure, but we closed all our mental institutions and we closed all the reformatories in America. And the juvenile system's fully loaded up, and that's it. It's just overflowing, and that's we use the foster care system as our juvenile detention centers, basically. Right? And that's it. Now, Deputy, what do you think about that?
I agree with you, except I still don't know the connection to the Muslims or the Quran.
Well, just how they stone their women to death, that they do adultery. I'm looking at this one woman today that was on. She refused to convert to Christianity, and she got the death sentence. Just the degradation of women in general, the Muslims, right?
But those are happening in their country. Muslims do not affect policy here.
Well, they
Muslims
live in our
nor the
country.
Quran. Muslims, no, yeah. Muslims nor the Quran have any power to affect policy in this country. So
but
I'm not understanding the connection.
Now you see the UK, what's happening in the UK. Gangs of Muslim rape people went on for 15 years were never handled well. Regions of the UK that under Sharia.
America's
and,
problem is created by Americans.
Well,
and unfortunately, most of them are white Americans. Trust me on that.
Well, no, whites didn't create it.
Wait.
That's unfair.
One second,
Nikki.
I'm waiting for the jokesters to come out, so go ahead.
Yeah. That's unfair to blame white people for anything, to tell you the truth.
Why not? Whose country
well,
is it?
Very productive.
No,
whose country is this? Who else are you going to blame?
It's all of our country. It's all of our country.
Well, I know you've been
this
here for 400 years.
This is not all of our country.
Can I make
I
a comment?
I don't know what you're sipping on, man. But unless you're going to share it, I can't continue to talk with you.
Can I please make a comment? We have federal parks. We have state parks. We have public freeways. We have public libraries, public schools. We share. We always have willing to share.
Yeah, there's a lot of those public things.
We have a lot of those public things. A lot of blood, blood is spilled on them right
listen,
now.
There's two on the line, so usually we get this call right about this time. So let's just say it out while we got about 4 minutes left with this.
Right. Now,
okay, so go ahead. You were saying...
Well, he's blaming everything on Whitey, the mighty righty whitey, and that's not fair. The mighty
no,
whitey,
I'm blaming it on the mighty
here.
Whitey white government. That's what I'm blaming it on.
Well, you
white
got
people,
a black
white,
man
white people,
the
white people. Excuse me, white people are slaves under this system too. So that means even you are a slave
too. Yeah, but I'm in the top 2% or 5%, however you want to add it up. And there's never been
doesn't
a greater
matter.
Disparity.
You're not
income.
In the top 1%. You're still
right,
a slave.
And I never will be. Well, I'm able to drop out and watch it, though. I'm able to live in a safe neighborhood in a safe state. I'm able to take nice vacations on airplanes and go to nice places. Money does buy you security.
So you support a lot of industries, so that makes you a great American, basically?
Oops, I think they hung up. Dropped or something. Okay, moving right along.
What the hell is he talking about?
Okay, listen, you know what? Let me explain this to you, okay? Because the voice that was on that phone, I've heard 109 times here before, always comes down to when we're having this type of a conversation. Now, what happens is usually that person will come in under a Skype name or an unidentified number. I heard two people on the line, which means that's the same tag team that comes along. And they slur their voice, they have that little nasal whatever, they start talking, pretending that they're part of the topic, and then the nigger comes out. So let's just keep it moving in the last few minutes of the show. So, Kevin, you were saying?
It's just that, you know, that type of troll kind of bothers me because they actually create a narrative.
No, don't let it, because that's...
You
see,
know,
this is what I mean when I tell our people this. That is the type of shit that's not going to change. It ain't going to change.
Right.
They believe what they believe. They are the reason. Right. Our thing is that we have to focus on what we need to do, knowing what never will change, and work to what we want change. We're never going to get them to like us. We're never going to get them to see us as people they didn't when they first brought us here. And I'm not trying to change an animal or an ignorant. I'm trying to make sure that they understand that the animal and the ignorant are not allowed in human nature or in the human world, and that's on us.
Right. And my thing is I could care less whether they like us or not, just as long as we get protected under the law the same way they're protected under it.
Exactly.
And if not,
that's the idea.
If not, then it's not
that'll
a good
be a
law.
Long road.
It has to go, you know.
That'll be a long road, though, because,
I
said, there's people like that who, like I said, I was just giving you you know, when I was talking about the white perspective, that's not my perspective. You know, I honestly like to think that I view black people as equal. I don't know for sure, but I'd like to think that I give everybody a fair shake. I'd like to think that I don't make assumptions about, you know, people there. You know, you hear a lot of stuff about black people from other white people, and that's just what I hear about their opinion about, like, how black people think they're entitled because of what happened to their ancestors, and they're angry, and they, you know, and they just want to blame
everything
on white people.
Absolutely, we're entitled, and I'm sorry to cut you, Mickey, but we are. And let me explain this to you. If they didn't feel that people were entitled to something, or if it wasn't just about black people being the ultimate fear or hate of them, then why would Chinese people get reparations? Why would Jewish people get reparations? Why would Indians get reparations, or Native Americans, if you want to, you know, be politically correct about it? There's a thing that they have for black people, for whatever the reasons is. Their color's too dark and scary. Their posture is too big and scary. They're too muscular. They're too overpowering. They might do something. They don't want to see that they're people, and most of the time, the bigger they are, the more docile they are. That is the problem. And you know what? If people would stop being so idiotic and realize that if you stop fighting black people, you might benefit from the resources of resourcefulness that we have and the natural care and trusting we have to help other people. And you might understand that the diversity might help benefit the world. The problem is they don't want to sit there and say everybody's entitled to get a fair peace. We don't want what the hell you have. We want a chance for us to raise our children without worrying about you and your stupid little viruses, your stupid little bombs, you coming into our neighborhood, shooting people down in your drunk whatever one of these days, realizing or thinking that we have some sort of hidden jewel that you can benefit from. And let me ask you something, all you ignorant, stupid idiots out there. Once you annihilate all of us, who are you going to have to do anything else with? You're going to turn on each other because that's all that's going to be left.
Yeah.
You're so busy trying to knock us down, but steal what we have.
What I was saying is that from the white perspective, it's like a lot of white people, a lot of white men who are, you know, in their 40s and 50s, think that black people do not want equal treatment. They want better treatment. That is their perspective. That's what most of them say.
And that's their damn problem, isn't it?
And they're just like, they don't get to know people. They just, like, look at a race, and then they say, oh, yeah, he's a thug. He's beneath me. And they have all this. It's like, you know, when they see a black person, it's like they have a summary of who they are already, you know, when they don't know anything about
them. That's just prejudging someone. And not only that, but white supremacy has no stake in trying to convince white people that they should look at black people any other way. They have no, there's no benefit for them to tell you, hey, these are actually the mother and father of the planet, that these are some of the creators of some of the other. It's funny how many cops stopped black people from running streetlights, but it was a black man who invented the streetlight.
Yeah.
Haven't
you ever heard of the complaint that was issued in 2012 about stop and frisk, about like how black and Latinos were 90% more likely to get
Well, that's what the policy was set up for, sweetheart. It was set up for that. Young white kids were not being – and now don't get it wrong. Some of them got pulled over in this policy. But the majority were black and Latino and in black and Latino hoods. So if white kids got yanked up, it was because they were in a hood they weren't supposed to be in. That was the only reason. But this was not happening in Throg's Neck, and it wasn't happening, you know, in Bronxdale like that. It wasn't happening in those areas that way. So that was a policy that was basically designed to get a whole lot more in the system. Because once that happened, there were a whole lot more. I mean, these were young men and young women who had done nothing wrong, had no criminal record. And now they have one, and they shouldn't have had one. This was just to make it harder for them to make it out here in the system. That's all it was designed for. And Bloomberg, Bloomberg thinks it's one of his greatest ideas. That's what's crazy.
And I just want to ask you, as a black man, like, you know, about stopping and frisking. Like, have you ever been frisked by the police?
Yes.
I was just wondering, like, you know, from that time to now, has stopping and frisking, like, has racial profiling, like, has it died down? Yeah, like, has it died down?
No.
No.
It hasn't. No. And the reason why is because, for one, you have to look at the numbers. You know, the numbers tell the truth. You know, and now there are a lot more youngsters out there. Okay, Latinos make up a large percentage of the population now. A lot of youngsters, okay? And what they're being primed for with stop and frisk is to wind up eventually in the system. Most of them will wind up in the system because behind getting stopped and frisked and having weed planted on them or being stopped over some silly shit, now they have a record, which will make it hard for them to get better jobs, civil service jobs and things like that, where they could support their families. So it makes it basically was meant to push a lot of them towards crime that were just on the bubble, basically.
So what happens when you get frisked?
Nikki, hold on 1 second, sweetheart, because I just want to address that before the point goes cold. Going a little past just stop and frisk, you have cops that's just walking up to blacks and Latinos and just pretty much arresting them or picking on them without any reason whatsoever.
Right.
Without any reason whatsoever. It used to be that if a cop accosted you for any reason, okay, they had to give you an explanation as to why they were bringing you in. Now they don't even answer you. They just bring you in. Now you're just expected to just turn your damn ass around, put your hands behind your back, and accept the cuffs. That is a way that is happening now. Okay? You could be sitting there. I'm going to bring back this example once again. A man returning home from work on the S3 in New York City. Okay? Asleep. With his briefcase, with his work clothes on. Okay? Asleep. Cop walked over, decided that he was guilty of sleeping while black, woke him up, and stood him up to arrest him. This man asked, well, what the hell did I do? I'm sleeping on the train, and guess what? When the two beat officers that was on that train wasn't enough to have this guy shut up and stop asking why he was being accosted, they called for backup. So by the time that little story ended, he was on the floor in handcuffs on with his face in the train floor with 8 cops around him now, still asking why was he being detained.
Mm-hmm.
And still they're not saying a word.
Yeah, but
and
I want to know,
stop and frisk is a policy in New York now, but I've been a black man all my life. I've been subject to stop and frisk pretty much since I was able to go to the store on my own.
Yeah, and I'm just curious to know how that goes along. What do they do when they frisk you? I don't know.
They randomly pick out somebody that they feel could fit their profile in their mind or what they possibly personally believe is a fear factor for them and say,
legalized
he has
profiling.
A big backpack
that's
anyways,
really,
and
it,
I think
really,
he's going to be somebody we need to stop and frisk.
And it really is not legal. It's a policy.
It's not
legal.
It's
not
a
law.
It's not even a bill.
It's a policy adopted by the police department.
However,
I was just asking
for black
the
kids,
man, like,
a policy that's not a law, they can't accept that or exercise that right when they refuse to be stopped and frisked. That's the problem.
Right.
It is an understood law that blacks cannot say a word while black. Okay?
No, I was
or
just
there will
asking,
be other
no.
consequences. Generously down to 3 minutes in here, and I do have to say good night. I want to thank you all for coming in. Our previous two had to drop off, but I appreciate their input, Kevin, as usual, an honor and a pleasure. Nikki, I always appreciate your input when you come in, and I do appreciate, you know, your quest for coming in and trying to, you know, make a difference as well. So to all of you that are listening out there, to our people, listen, we have got to stop giving them stuff that depicts us in a wrong fashion, a wrong light. Ignorance exists, savagery exists, already. We can't stop that. But we can definitely, definitely, definitely stop it from continuing. We can definitely show them who we are just by being who we are. So fight that down and stop giving them the fodder for this crap. Until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and I'll see you back here at 10:30 Eastern Time.
All right. I love my people.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.